Morning, everybody. What day is it? It's Thursday. I've been on holiday. I've lost track. It is Thursday, the 10th of December, and we're almost at Christmas. I'm back from my week on the course, so to speak. And today the market seems to have lost. I think we were up 42 yesterday. We're down 42 today. So all a nil-sum game. We are ending our seven-day streak of up days on the ASX 200. Oh, well, it has been a good rally. I've put a chart of the ASX 200 in the strategy piece today. You'll see from that we are now overbought. We're heavily overbought on a daily basis. In fact, there's been a bit of a sell signal on a daily chart. But I don't want to emphasize charts too much for those new members out there, but it's worth looking at. And the monthly chart is now overbought. And monthly charts more significant than daily charts. You don't sell a market or a stock just because it's overbought. It can remain overbought for long periods of time. So not too fussed about that. Obviously, we are having a good rally, and that is probably the main point. But today, just getting a bit of a bloody nose. Dow Jones was down 105. Our futures were down 25, and we have been down 44, currently down, and now we're down 37. In the strategy piece today, fairly routine positives and negatives. We have on the positive front, energy sector, one of the best sectors in the US overnight. We've taken quite a big bet in the energy sector as a recovery sector in our portfolios, which are in the strategy piece today. And I've got a chart of Woodside and the oil price in the strategy piece today, and you'll see highly correlated oil price running away at the moment, and it all feeds nicely into this recovery theme we've got. More of that in a moment. Other positives, the Thanksgiving COVID super spread event apparently was not as bad as first thought. They've got Christmas to come, but I'm not sure anyone cares really, do they, with a vaccine on the way? Anyway, IPO fever continues in the US. DoorDash was up 74% on debut. It's never turned a profit and has a market cap of $77.9 billion. Well, Marcus, today's a lot more profitable than that. Maybe if I list tomorrow, we'll get $78 billion. Iron ore price continues its rally up 0.5%. It's gone through $150. We'll come to that again in a moment. And an FDA meeting tonight could approve the Pfizer vaccine with distribution pretty much immediate. And the UK have stolen the first man on the moon kudos by jabbing a 90-year-old lady, the first person to be jabbed. Negatives today, big tech, the worst sector overnight. Facebook's facing antitrust issues. Some suggestion they might have to separate off Instagram and WhatsApp. Anyway, Johnson & Johnson struggling to find enough trial patients without COVID in the US. I suppose that's a bit of a problem. Might stuff up your data. Newswire's talking about the indices showing signs of fatigue. Aussie dollar's up 74.41. Not great for our big international stocks, but it's always a slow burn issue rather than a trading issue. NASDAQ's had its biggest fall overnight since October. Big tech taking a breather. We've got minimal exposure. We're still betting on this rotation to value that's going on. And little progress on stimulus talks and Brexit talks dysfunctional. And you've got to assume at some point someone is going to get the balls to call no deal. You can't see me with my arms crossed in front of me. Okay, short-term daily stuff aside, a couple of stocks caught my attention in the research over the break in my readings. Have a look at those in the strategy section. One of them is Karoon. Henry's been following it for years, added it to his small caps portfolio. By the way, if you want to watch or not watch, if you want a small company's bit of the newsletter, read Henry's take every day. Henry is great at picking some of the smaller stocks, and you'll see his small companies portfolio in the Henry's take section every day. Anyway, he's all over Karoon. The broker research, there are only three brokers covering it that I can see, and the average target price is 38% above the current share price. It's a bit small for us to add in our real portfolios. We're now running almost 100 million in our Marcus Today Growth SMA. If we go and buy a small stock, we can blow it up, unfortunately. So we're not adding it, but Henry's got it in his small companies portfolio. Chris might add it as a trade. Anyway, it is not a bottom left to top right chart. It's a top left to bottom right chart, but in the last year or so, or just at the moment, having a recovery with the rest of the energy sector might be worth a look. Brokers certainly love it. And the other one was Steadfast Group. Credit Suisse put out some research today. Again, broker target prices above the current share price. Every broker a buyer. They put out better than expected first quarter guidance at the end of October. And when a company puts out guidance, it makes it low risk for the next 3 to 6 months or so. Always a good time to look at a stock after guidance. Anyway, it is performing and brokers like it. I've put the stock box in today. Some of you new members might not have seen a stock box before. You can get these stock boxes on the Marcus Today website. Go to the top of the website and you'll see a tab called stock box. You can put in any code there, any US code in the S&P 500, any ASX code in the All Ordinaries, or you can email us and we will add any code you like. Although most of the stocks people ask us to add are some penny dreadful and there aren't any forecasts, so the stock box isn't really populated. Anyway, you'll see the stock box for Steadfast Group in the strategy piece today in the chart. It's performed very well. It popped after its guidance, but a bottom left to top right chart. Right, I have a bit of education in the newsletter today about resources stocks. I've sort of done this before recently, but it's talking about the leverage some stocks have to commodity prices, and it's prompted by Citigroup downgrading Fortescue Metals from buy to neutral yesterday, having put their iron ore price up, which resulted in an earnings upgrade of, can you believe it, 32 to 33% for Fortescue Metals for this year, sorry, for next year, and 38 to 43% upgrade of earnings for 2022. So they've upped their iron ore price forecast, and of course they've therefore upped their earnings forecast by 38%, but they've downgraded the recommendation. Anyway, the point about the article today, you can read it, is that most brokers are following these commodity stocks rather than leading. If you can't get the commodity price right, and clearly Citibank's got it wrong, which is why they've had to up their iron ore price forecast, they are keeping up with events rather than leading events. And I call it, it's not a forecast of the iron ore price, it's a backcast. In other words, they're so out of sync with where the current market is, they've caught up and gone and made an upgrade, and that pushes all their forecasts around. It's not Citigroup's fault. All brokers have the same problem with commodity-based stocks. If you can't get the commodity price right, you can't get the stock right. You can go to Fortescue's operations, you can get to know Twiggy Forrest, but he will tell you that he has no idea what the iron ore price, well, he probably will have an idea, but whether he's right or not, I don't know. But he will have no idea where the share price is going because it's so dependent on an unpredictable commodity price, which at the moment is hugely overbought, $150 a ton. And you have to guess that to get it right. So Citigroup just chasing their tail, chasing the iron ore price up and changing their forecast to suit what has happened in reality. So I call it backcasting rather than forecasting on some of these commodity stocks. Anyway, the point is you can make an enormous amount of money getting commodity prices right because the stocks, underlying stocks, are heavily geared to that commodity price. So whereas the iron ore price over a number of years went up 60%, Fortescue went up 400%. So it's a fantastic sector, but it is a trading sector. It can be a trading sector over a long time frame, but it is a long duration or short duration trading sector. So respect the trend in the commodity stocks. It's about all you have, rather than respecting the research, because the research is all dependent on an unforecastable commodity price. Anyway, we have put in this, or I have put in the strategy section today, a fabulous chart of Fortescue with the iron ore price overlaid to tell you that research is irrelevant. You really have to look at the commodity price trend, and at the moment it's flying. And I've also, as another example of commodity stock, put in a price or a chart of Woodside with the oil price overlaid on it, and you'll see exactly the same thing. Very, very high correlation. Get the oil price right, you'll get the energy sector right. And we have taken a bet on the energy sector recovering over the next year because we assume that as a vaccine arrives, travel resumes, global economic growth returns to normal, world's oil demand returns to normal, and the oil price will recover with it. And yet some of these stocks like Woodside, if it was to get back to its February high, would have to go up 50% from here. Some of them would have to double. So we're holding Woodside, Oil Search, Santos, Origin, Worley's at the moment. Other plays are Beach Petroleum and Karoon, but we don't have faith. We reassess it on a daily basis, and it is a bet on the oil price. But so far, so good. Anyway, read that bit of education about why broker research is a bit irrelevant in the resources sector, but how it's a fabulous sector to trade if you can get the commodity price right. Right, that's about that. By the way, if you hear my dog barking, that's a cavoodle. There you go. Thank you, Savvy. Apparently, you can turn a cavoodle over now for about, I believe it's got up to $9,500. So every time I look at my cavoodle, I see a golf cart. If anyone would like to buy a cavoodle, just give me a ring. She is 8 years old, but looks three. So I might get a decent price if I put the right photo up on the internet. Anyway, also in the strategy piece today, I've got the portfolio summaries because we have got a heck of a lot of new members and people testing us out at the moment. So just to explain what our portfolios are, I've put in a section today looking at our ETF portfolio, our growth portfolio, and our income portfolios. You'll see this is 100% transparency. You don't get this from many fund managers, if any fund managers. We manage these portfolios through this section on a daily basis. They reflect, not exactly, but they pretty much reflect, certainly on the big strategy calls, what we do in our real portfolios. We run an income and a growth SMA, separately managed account, with about $100 million in them now. And these portfolios pretty much reflect what we're doing in the SMAs with small differences. So you'll see the performance charts of those portfolios and the current stocks we're holding in the weightings in the strategy piece today and the ETF portfolio. And we hope to launch an ETF SMA next year, designed to be a low risk, low cost, low stress, long term compounding portfolio, which you'll be able to invest in for real if we get that launched early next year. Let's hope so. Finally, technical observations. There are some charts every day. I put in some technical observations, which are gleaned from our scan of over 2,000 stocks every morning. We only really look at the bigger ones. And we put in some of the buy signals and sell signals. And I put in charts that look interesting, not all the charts. Some of the charts or the charts I put in are designed to show you potential pivot points for mostly the larger stocks. Most of them are short-term signals, RSI signals on Heck and Ashy charts. There's a link to what Heck and Ashy means in the strategy piece today. But you'll see from that there are a few buy signals. Kogan looks like it's bottoming. So does NextDC. So does ProMedicus, which are three highly traded stocks. As I say, it's trading, although they are bottom left to top right charts at the moment, which is the bigger trend. And there are about 20 sell signals, noticeably travel and banks in there, Qantas and Webjet, with short-term. Don't go and sell them as investors just because they've got short-term sell signals, but short-term sell signals on Qantas and Webjet, Westpac and Bank of Queensland. Right, that's about that for today. As I leave you down 39, we've dropped and stopped. You have a fabulous day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.